What's poppin', everybody? Hello and welcome to Popcorn Culture. My name is Ben Carlin and I am your host. Here with me today is my brother Jay, who will be in every episode.
Ben, I got a question for you.
You just toss it right at me.
What makes one pasta better than another? Not a corny joke, genuine question.
Okay, I actually have the same question right now because because it like so many other things, I have wanted to DIY myself some homemade sta.
You want to make some homemade pasta?
Some homemade pasta. Because I'm still currently, as of today, I'm on day 30 of 75 hard.
Yeah.
Progress going well. One of the things I am struggling hard with to, what I'm finding to be just the utter frustration of every human being in my life. Like, nobody wants to give me advice because they're all just like, I hate you. It's that I can't eat enough carbs.
Can't eat enough carbs?
I can't eat enough carbs.
You should try some garlic bread.
And so,
or some pasta.
Some pasta. So you instructed to me, you were like, you should just go home at the end of every day and just eat a giant bowl of pasta.
Yeah, I'm on the spaghetti and meatballs diet.
Are you?
No, that's what you should be saying to people.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, what are you doing, man? You look great.
Yeah, go ahead and try that sentence out. Just be like, yeah, do you feel like you could even say that?
What? No, which part?
I'm on the spaghetti and meatballs diet.
I would probably say speggy.
You can't say it. Okay. So you can't. I got it.
Answer? No.
Okay. You couldn't even get that one. This is your problem, man.
What's my problem?
You can't even say the sentence, I'm on the spaghetti and meatball diet.
Yeah, I can't say it. But here's the thing. I have wanted to create my own pasta because I think it looks very fun. And for some reason, I do think it would taste way better, which is something that doesn't actually make a huge amount of sense to me because there are like three ingredients in pasta and they are literally flour, egg yolks, and salt, mm-hmm. I think, to the best of my knowledge. And okay. Like other things, like possibly even like the macarons that I make, I think that there are like subtle shifts in terms of ratios and such that can give you different end results. Like, I think there is such a thing as doing it better and doing it worser. That being said, though, like, I don't know what makes one sta better than other stas.
Well, in my experience, most sta be the same flavor.
Okay.
As it were.
Right.
Yeah. It seems like the difference between most pastas is that it just comes in different shapes.
It does seem like that. Is
right.
The difference.
I mean, I'm sure you can get like whole grain pasta and like regular pasta.
Right. Yeah. But then like, I also suppose there's something to the idea of like the thickness of the pasta.
How many times did you put it through? Anytime I see people making pasta like on TV or like on the Food Network or something, they always have that little like spinner thing with the crank.
Yeah.
And it seems like someone somewhere decided that the most appropriate way to make pasta was for the gear to be as small as possible. So you gotta like, here's what I would be interested in, Ben. Make your own pasta, but go ahead and also like hook your bicycle up to it and just put it on the top chain ring. So you can be like, you know, get some real
crank.
Yeah, get some real crank. Like, save yourself a few rotations on the spinning.
I'm not exactly sure why you have to put it through so many times, and maybe you don't. But like in my head, you put it through a whole bundle of times.
I think you put it through a lot of times. And my guess is that each time you make it a little bit, you like adjust the tightness of the spinner so that it gets thinner and thinner and thinner.
I see.
But each time you made it thinner so you can put it through thinner.
Okay. So now what's going through my mind is that like it makes sense that like spaghetti, for example, would be so basic in terms of like pastas,
sure,
because you could like possibly just
possibly
you could just cut it into strands very easily, I think, or using some type of jig. However, when we were growing up, I feel as though mom very frequently would use bow tie shaped pasta.
Not my favorite shape of pasta.
Oh, my least favorite shape of pasta is penne.
The
long tubes.
Man, I don't have enough time to tell how much I don't like penne.
I know. Don't even
get me started, man.
Strong opinions about weak things. Penne can just like go away.
Penne is just the worst shape of pasta, hands down.
I stand by it.
Okay.
Firmly.
Okay. You know what's a close second? Just shells. I
feel like when we were in the Boy Scouts growing up, they would make us Velveeta shells mac and cheese.
You know, I was talking about like larger pasta shells.
Oh,
but you're right. The mini ones as well. Yeah. And yeah, anyone who's ever had Velveeta, which is like the artificial cheese that you bring on Boy Scout trips to make your mac and cheese.
I think because it doesn't need to be fridged.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. And you're just kids and mac and cheese is pretty good and it fills you up and it doesn't, you know, weigh. Well, I mean, it doesn't not weigh nothing because it is a brick of cheese.
True.
Or a brick of not cheese, as it were.
Good clarification. Yeah. Good clarification.
Anyway, there you go. Penne and shells, and then probably bow ties right there.
Okay, but here's what I was going to say about bow ties, though, is that it seems as though they would need to be, like, more effort would go into forming the bow tie than many other stars, as it were, because it's like, it has like the pinch in the middle in order to bow tie-ify it.
I suppose you really are just like cutting thick strands of pasta and then just doing a pinch.
Doing a pinch, but then it also has like that ruffly edge.
Yeah.
But maybe you're right. You're right.
Yeah. I think mostly what you would do is you'd have like a pizza slicer that just had the ruffly edge though.
Okay.
And then you would just slice, do the rows and then you'd slice out the little rectangles and then you just pinch them.
It still seems like more work than like Speggy where you
pasta is a labor of love, you know. You're not getting into it. You're not making your own pasta because it's easy.
Right. But that's the thing, though. Like, I don't think that in the history of my entire life, I have ever gone to a restaurant, ordered a pasta dish, and ate all of it.
Interesting.
Who can? It's so much food.
I see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is what I mean. Nobody wants to be supportive about my problems.
Yeah. Oh, no. You can't eat enough food. Gee willikers, Ben.
Gee willikers.
Oh, boy. Yeah. You need to just start ordering lots more appetizers where all the fried food is.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. Polish off some mozzarella sticks.
Well, when it comes to the 75 hard. So let me give a quick update on this particular thing.
Yeah, give us the update on the 75 hard.
Because here's the thing. So I, since doing it, much more active, mm-hmm. which has been fantastic. Yeah. Dieting, which has been great because I feel like I'm getting all the right nutrients put into my system and such. I feel like I have seen people in fitness communities refer to bulking before, which is basically the process of operating at a calorie surplus. So eating more food than calories you're able to burn every day to build mass. And then you basically do what's called a cut, which you then operate at a calorie deficit in order to then convert some of the additional mass that you have created into muscle. And then it's sort of like the repetition of this process over time that makes for the people that you see like on covers of like fitness magazines and such.
Right.
And so going into 75 hard, once upon a time, we of course talked about my 17-inch biceps.
Right.
You know, the goal, the dream.
The dream.
And if I get them, then I get my tattoo finally for realsies. Every single thing about my life is like 8 stepping stones that are all going in like one of those geometric patterns where if you go up one staircase, you're actually coming down a different one.
Yeah. I've got one that I'm working on right now that is like so many moving pieces are like, I want to get to this one step. I want this one thing. And the amount of steps it's going to require is like so much effort, but it's like all the things are moving in that direction, but it's just getting everything else out of the way.
Okay.
But we'll come back to it.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. Okay. So with this, I was like hoping like, okay, like maybe like if I really commit to it, like maybe I can hit this fitness goal, my 17-inch biceps whilst doing 75 hard. And I do think that I've seen a lot of progress, but the other thing that's happening is that I'm exercising so much that I'm just getting like leaner, which is great. And I'm very proud of like the results that I'm seeing and everything. But I'm like, next winter, I'm just going to have to find a way to consume.
Yeah.
You know, I'm gonna have to become a human vacuum cleaner
for
the spa. Mm-hmm. But maybe it will be the creating of my own pasta that finally gets me there.
Maybe. I always think that like homemade bread doesn't like it always seems like I can eat more of it with less consequence.
Ooh, good. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like homemade bread doesn't count. You can eat as much of that as you want.
I love it.
Yeah.
I'm going to start making my own bread.
Plus, you can't stop because it's so good.
I'm going to be Baker Ben.
Baker Ben.
Yeah. It'll be great. Okay. So you are also in the midst of a fitness challenge where you are riding your Peloton every day in the month of April.
Every day in the month of April.
But you said
there wasn't a better month. to use.
You said you have a very specific goal in mind that you were barreling at.
Oh, well, you know what? It is semi-related to that, but it's not. That wasn't what I was talking about.
Oh, okay.
I can give you an update on my 30-day Peloton. As we record, it is the 11th, and so I have ridden it 11 days in a row.
Way to go. Very proud of you.
Which has been pretty good. Yeah, we talked a little bit last week about like the immediacy of tomorrow. That is still very present, especially here at the beginning of the week. Like, because on Monday and Wednesday is when I go to the gym to like lift weights as well. So I'm having to like wake up at 6 to ride the Peloton ahead of time and then go to the gym.
Right. Yes.
Yeah. So like today, for example, that was the case because we're recording on Monday. And then we came to work, and then we have the treadmill desks that we've been doing as well.
Yes.
So you and I sat down to record our review of The Secrets of Dumbledore this morning, because we saw that over the weekend.
Yep.
And like, I was just like, the entire time we've had the walking treadmill, I've been like, this is great, because I'm not even like out of breath when I'm like doing it. You know, you can walk for like an hour, you can walk for like 100 minutes, and it's just like, yeah, this was just like such passive activity. Like there's like almost no like downside. But I was just sitting at the table waiting for us to get the camera set up and stuff, and I was like, I am like breathing weirdly hard.
Oh, today. Interesting.
And I was like, why am I breathing so? Because it was like 20 minutes after the fact, and I was like still breathing hard. And I was like, it could be because I've worked out kind of 3 times a day and had like a protein shake and a protein bar, and that's it. Like, yeah. I've had like no food. I'm like, this is not good. I am breathing too hard for the
for where we're at in the day.
For where, yep, I'm at, and for like the amount of rest I should have had. It was like this is like the first time I've had that sort of issue. With it, where it felt like it like really stacked up,
yes,
in a way that made me feel like I gotta get some water or something. This is weird,
right?
Yeah. What other notice? So this past week, I had a day as well where it was, I really had to have like a big schedule shakeup because we went to The Bachelor Live. We can talk about that if you want. Me and Beth did one night, so we were like up late, and we went to like order some wine because, you know, it's The Bachelor. You got to get wine for the show.
Naturally.
Yeah, yep, it was pretty fun. And it was at the concert venue I used to work at.
Bingo.
Yeah, bingo. So that was kind of cool. But like, we went up to to get the wine, and they're like, would you like a small or large? And I was like, well, I don't want to come back to the concession, so I'll just get the large. And boy, did I think... I don't know what I thought they were going to give me when I said large, but apparently what they heard was, I'd like the wombo, please. They gave me and Beth each this like cup just full, literally to the top. At like, you couldn't like barely move it. You had to do like a sort of thing to like start walking around with it. It was so much. So that didn't help. So then we were also out late, had a drink, and then I've been having like terrible allergies, so like I woke up the next morning and I was like, I can't do it today. Too many things have intersected,
right? Yes.
At 6 a.m. I think Luke also woke up at like 3 a.m. that night, so like I was extra tired. I was like, I'm just gonna have to do it later. But then it turned out doing it later became harder and harder because you and Alice were coming over for dinner that night.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay, so I can't do it like as soon as I get home from work, no big deal. You know what, I think you were working from home that day. I was like, I think I'm just going to send, maybe I'll just like, maybe we'll just have like an early day at the office. It's Friday afternoon. We'll just leave at 4. Boom. I'll get it done before they come over for dinner.
Yep.
Couldn't do it. Turns out, cause we also had a Google Hangout with patrons, which was also super fun and good. It just meant I had to like find a different way to do the Peloton. So instead I had to do the hangout, then go home, then have dinner, then put the kids to bed. And then my workout.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, oh my gosh. But I've decided, this is something that I didn't really take into account ahead of time, that Fridays are going to be like my recovery day, quote unquote.
Okay.
Because like, I don't know. It just seemed like, and part of me, I was like feeling guilty. Like, I'm not trying hard enough today. And I was like, no, you know what? You really, I think you like, so I'm curious on your 75 hard. Have you had days where it's just like, I obviously still have to meet the requirements for the challenge, but today is definitely more of a rest day.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. Like even yesterday I told like the crew when I walked in, this morning, it was like yesterday. So today's Monday. Yesterday was a Sunday, obviously. And it was just a bad day. Like it was it just wasn't a good day. And I feel like for me to go like full bore, it was a bad day. It's like I think I would like to say that like my like litmus for that is pretty considerable.
Yeah.
Like to have fully qualified it as a bad day. But so last night, Alice and I basically like, you know, we got Addie down and everything. We're like going to, I'm like, I still need to work out. It's like, you know, 8:30 at night or whatever.
Right. And I just have to do two workouts today. All
right. Yeah. Right. And so I did for my workout, I have a couple of like different things that I've been able to pair together, but I counted for the first 15 minutes of my 45 minute workout. I did just like very like intentional and active stretching, which I would say is like, you know, normally I would stretch before a workout as sort of just like get loosened up type of thing.
Right.
This was more like I am stretching for like a long time.
Right.
You know, like and like repeating them and trying to move through the motions. And it was kind of like, because I don't think I have a full 45 minutes, but I feel like this is still, it absolutely falls into like a wellness column of physical movement.
It's like this weird mentality of like, do less to do more.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yep. Absolutely. Yeah. So, but yeah, you're absolutely right. Like within the challenge, I think there have been several days so far where I found myself, there was one night this week where I didn't hit my protein goal. And so I'm like standing in the kitchen with my jug of protein powder and a gallon of whole milk sitting on the counter. It's like 10:30 at night. Like Allie's already upstairs, like getting ready for bed and stuff like that. And I was like, I have to drink 3 protein shakes.
Oh my gosh.
To close out this night. Like, because things just interrupted my ability to eat throughout the day. And it was just like, it's like, I am between a rock and a hard place right now. Like, I haven't missed my protein goal since I started.
Right.
Everything has been so solid. I've been so proud of myself. And it's like, I can't go back in time and have more time for more food to get into my system.
Right.
It's like the only fast track I have right now is my protein powder.
It's like a weird situation where like, if it weren't for the, like the parameters of the challenge, like you would not be doing that sort of thing. And it's like, it's like a question of, is drinking 3 protein shakes in a row at 10:30 at night, like actually helping your body?
No,
in a way, or is it just like, I'm doing it cause I'm doing the challenge.
It was more for my mind than right. It was for my body. And I will openly admit that like for what it's worth, like I don't think that I'm running myself absolutely ragged or anything with this. Like I think it's been really good for my mental health on the whole, but that was a day where it was like, I want to like prove it to myself that I can keep doing this. And so it was kind of like, it, almost like if you were to eat like 27 like multivitamins, for example, it's like largely what's going to happen is you're eating expensive urine, you know, like, uh-huh. Like it's just your body just can't uptake that many multivitamins.
Right.
Like it just doesn't have anything else to do with them. So everything that overflows the tank is just like, well, it's gone now. So, you know, you don't need any more of it. And so I sort of felt like there was some chance that a little bit of that was going on mm-hmm. on this particular day. I don't know how it all works in terms of like the internal biology of it, but yeah, that was my rationale. But definitely when it really came down to it, it was like, I want to stay on, and I don't want to have this feeling that there was like that one day where I didn't quite get it, you know?
Right.
I think it would have been like an asterisk on the completion of the challenge at the end that I would have been like, it was that Thursday night.
It was that
Thursday night. I should really start over again.
Yeah.
It's like, cause that's the other thing too, is I do not want to get to the end and not feel like I did it.
Right.
But that being said, the really good news about all of it is I think I'm picking up some really fantastic new, habits and kind of making some like tweaks in my life that I don't know that I ever would have made if I wasn't doing what felt like all of the other stuff right.
Oh, like what?
So one of the big things right now that I'm like having like a serious contemplation about is like quitting social media.
Ah.
So it's very, I think, multi-layered in terms of like what has kind of brought me to this particular decision. But it just so happened to be the case that my nonfiction reading that I picked up over the weekend is called Dopamine Nation. And it's a book about where we source and track dopamine in our brain. And a lot of what social media offers us is a hit of dopamine. So, you know, like you're might be waiting at the dentist's office or whatever for your turn to go. And you're just like, I'm sitting here. I'm bored. I want to not be bored. I'm going to open my phone. Boom. Something interesting happened. Like dopamine fired.
Right.
And you're sort of like, you get like that fix. And the thing that the, not specifically with social media, but one of the things that the author compared this kind of like phenomenon to is, oh no, it just trinked out of my head. Oh, it's painkillers. And like sort of the explanation with painkillers is that like you're in pain, so you take a painkiller and it helps ease the pain. And then you're in a little more pain, so you take more painkillers and you know, the pain goes away. But then eventually it's like, if you run out of those painkillers, your pain will actually be worse than it was at the start. So it's like your body could actually be hurting more at that point. And so I think what's happening to me as it pertains to like social media and such is that like I hate boredom to begin with.
Right.
But I think social media makes me hate boredom when I don't have a solve for it even more. Does that make sense?
Like, I don't, maybe like, so you feel like you're doing even like less than nothing by being on social media?
Ooh, less than nothing is a very double negative-y type of
yeah.
like situation to be in. It's
like being bored without scrolling on your phone would be more productive than scrolling on your phone.
Correct.
Okay.
And it would be the case that you would feel less frustration with that boredom if you had like eliminated a constant way to solve the boredom.
Oh, right.
Is sort of the thought. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like if you don't have this thing to rely on as a constant source of solving your boredom, then when you are bored, you are even better equipped for it.
I guess so.
If that makes sense.
Yeah.
So anyway, all that to say, like, so that's like one more educational layer to my dopamine related thinking there. But the other is that like you're listening to us right now, and my primary job is making internet, you know, like content on the internet,
right?
Like social media is a rather substantial part of like my job.
Sure.
You know? And so like, I think it's kind of like one of these things where it would feel interesting to me to do what we do and then like literally be someone who has no social media available on his phone at all.
Right.
Like, do you kind of see like how that would seem?
Yeah. Like it would be like you're like known on social media, but you're not even really on it other than like the show you make.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep,
but
exactly.
Like, I would say already you're pretty not on Facebook or Twitter.
Yeah.
For the most part anyway. And like pretty sparsely on Instagram in terms of posting stuff. I'm not sure how much you're like scrolling any of those apps.
That's probably what it comes down to the most, is how often I end up getting caught in the crosshairs that way. But I think part of what's happening is that I'm rationalizing like, well, no, I can't like delete these apps because this is like what I do for a living. Like I have to be able to do it. And it's like, but I don't really use any of them for my job. Like the problematic relationship that I have with them has nothing to do with work.
It's like the devil on your shoulder is like, no, you can't delete those because you need them for work. And it's like the rational part of your brain is like, but I'm not even using them for work related purposes.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. So, but one of my big thoughts was, or I've had like a few different mental approaches to what this could look like. One of them was just literally allowing like Alice or Kat here at the office just run my Instagram.
Right.
Like I don't actually know if this is true, but at the gym this morning, you and I and our coach Gabriel were talking that like apparently Selena Gomez hasn't been on the internet in 5 years.
Yeah, that's what he said. I'm not sure I don't know where that fact was sourced from or if it's true, but that's what we're going off of.
That's what we're going off of. So yeah, like unverified thought. But I also think Selena Gomez is like amongst one of the most followed people on Instagram, and she still has an Instagram presence. Which means that, and this would not surprise me at all. I mean, she is certainly successful enough and has enough people behind her that somebody could very easily just be running
right.
running the show for her. And it's like, she still goes and does these photo shoots. She's still involved with, you know, new productions. She was just in Only Murders in the Building.
Yep.
You know, so like any amount of like publicity related things that she needs to do can still go out and exist out there in the ether. However, she doesn't have to go and be a direct part of it. Assuming this is true.
Assuming that it's true.
And so I was like, that's sort of an interesting thought, though. Like I have a hard time figuring out what's worth posting to Instagram in the first place. But I was like, maybe if I just sort of like offload this, and then it's kind of like, I took some cool pictures this morning. Do with them what you will.
Yeah.
You know, like, I don't know. Like, that, maybe that's a good way to interact with it.
Right.
Possibly. Or else the other thought that I had would be, I've thought before that it would be interesting to have a TikTok page called Thoughts with Ben, where it's basically some of these like deep philosophical thoughts that I have, where
right.
I can attempt to pose a question and hopefully spark a discussion as a result of that question. But I was like, wouldn't it be kind of interesting if I did these types of things, but I never, like, I never log in to see anything.
Right. Like, so it's like, you sit down and record Thoughts with Ben, and then you just hand it to Ethan, and it's like, can you just put this on my TikTok?
Right. And then it's just, right. and then it just goes.
It's just out there.
And I don't see the comments. I don't see the views. I don't see the likes. I don't see anything. It's just, it went out.
I had
a thought, and I don't want the comments and thoughts and everything to affect the thought that I had. I would just like to be able to express this.
Because like once you know certain thoughts got more comments,
yes,
you might start tailoring your thoughts to appease those commenters.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. And that's not what you want. That's not what you want. Like, you just want to be able to be like, this was the thought that I had today, so I put it out there.
Right.
So all of that to say, though, yeah, it's I'd be so curious how much I might still like reach into my pocket, or like what might take its place,
mm-hmm.
you know, in terms of,
yeah,
like, is it possible that like, if this isn't there, that something else would be there?
Right.
I don't know.
Yeah. Like if you just, I've thought about this before too, like just not, like if when I got home, I just, you know, took 3 minutes to walk upstairs and just like put my phone next to my bed and just like, I'll just see this in the morning.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Just like, this is not going to be part of my evening anymore.
Yep.
Like, how would that change my evenings? You know?
Absolutely. Well, and on that same token, one thought that I had is we work here at the SCB office, would be if I left my smartphone here.
Oh.
At all times.
Right.
And then literally just had like straight up a flip phone that like, mom, dad, you, Alice.
Right. This is the problem, is that sometimes people try and communicate with you.
Right. Like you need to be reachable for
you know what? Don't even get a flip phone. Just get like a house phone.
You know what I mean? House phone.
Yeah. Just like a house phone that like rings and the entire house has to deal with it.
People will not know the pain of Sunday night movie night and someone calls in the middle of it, and then mom has to go and talk for 20 minutes.
Right.
No, and it's good. Like, mom, come back.
I'm watching a movie.
I know. Okay. So this actually, I think it brings up another interesting question that I wanted to talk about today. Okay. So, I think this is kind of interesting, but it is the question of when like your kids, Addison, are old enough, would there be an argument for getting them a flip phone?
Oh, there's absolutely arguments for it.
Right.
Absolutely. I am like petrified of giving Luke like a tablet or a, you know, iPod or something with a screen that he can just play with nonstop. It's like officially his, you know. I feel like he would just get lost in there already.
Right.
You know,
yep.
Like at the moment we do have like a tablet. It's like, I don't know, it's like the Amazon Fire or something.
Okay.
It's whatever the kids one is. It's just the like blue thing. But and we do have it, but we only ever give it to him for long car rides. Like anytime we're going to be going anywhere where he's going to be like sitting in the car seat bored for like more than an hour. And it's mostly because, you know, when you're sitting in the car seat, there's not a lot to do.
Right.
And it does feel like at least now you will have something to entertain you. So that's really the only time he gets much access to it. And it's not like he doesn't, you know, watch TV and stuff, some throughout the day, but he definitely does not have like a, a tablet or a screen or something. And I feel like the longer I can prolong that from happening, the better. Because I feel like it's so easy. Like, you know, I'm already victim to it.
Oh,
know?
Yeah, yeah,
like,
absolutely.
I already don't like this about myself. And I feel like you don't need it, you know. And the thing is, like, he is so imaginative. Like, he comes up with all these different games in his heads, and he'll just be upstairs in his room, like, see, like, we do like quiet time every day, which is basically nap time. But a lot of times Luke will just, you know, play by himself in his room with his toys. And the stuff he comes up with, it just like blows my mind sometimes. It's like, he's like, yeah, you leave him, you let him be bored, and he'll just come up with stuff. And I feel like that's probably maybe what you're getting at. Like,
it yeah. is. Yeah. Yep. You're finding it.
Yeah. Like, your brain, you know what? You're going to be bored, but you're going to find something to do.
Right.
And I will say, yeah, like, even right, something I've even noticed just like 11 days into my little Peloton thing that I like, you know, like on the last Friday when I had to like wait until 9 o'clock at night to do my ride, it was like, it would have been so easy to not do it. But like, just even just this far in, I feel like what I'm like learning about myself is that, or about this process, is that like, for so long, there's been so many days where I've like thought about doing it, and it's like, I just don't have time, or it's just like, or I'm just too tired. But then you go do it and it's done, and it's like, nope, you could have done it.
Yeah,
like, you know,
yeah,
what?
Yep.
Like, actually, it's more doable than you think. And it's like, I'm only really sticking to it because of the challenge, but like, the lesson is still setting in that, like, I could do it. Like, if it's important to me, I can make time to do it, even if it feels like there is no time to do it.
Right.
And even like the past two weekends, I feel like I have gotten like a ton of stuff done just like around the house, like, whether it was, you know, planting our sunflowers, or we like hung a curtain rod this weekend, or caulking the bathroom. It's just like all these little projects. It's like, you know, I'm just going to go do it right now. And like, normally I would have been telling myself, like, I'm not like, I'm just dealing with the kids right now, or because I got to, you know, Luke's, you know, going to be bothering me the whole time. Like, I'm not going to be able to do it. It's like, he'll just come with me and we'll just get it done. And it'll be a little bit harder, but we'll just do it anyway.
Yeah, and I actually kind of love this because you included a lot of the stuff in your vlog this week, and yeah. I thought it was some of the funniest stuff that I've seen in your vlog in such a long time. I was like, oh my God, this is hilarious.
Yeah, it was a very good vlog this week. If you haven't seen it, you should go check it out.
Yeah, watching Luke help you lay tape for caulking the bathtub was pretty amazing.
Man. He was pretty excited about it because, yeah, it's amazing the stuff that kids will find special. We just have, like, yeah, blue painter's tape that you put down so you don't get paint on, you know, the ceiling or something.
Sure.
And he's like, this is my special tape. This is mine. I love it. I'm going to put it down. It's going to be a racetrack, whatever.
You know? Right. Okay, so on that note, though, because we brought it back to Luke a little bit. So, yeah, this fast forward, it does fast forward to, like, age, I don't know, 12, 13, 14, whatever, when it is due time for them to probably have some means of being able to contact you. It's one of these things where it's like, in my head, it's like, I am 100% sure that a less smartphone is better overall.
Right.
Because it's less of a distraction. It's less being sucked into a lot of the, you know, potentially toxic nature associated with social media that we all see and feel all the time. It's like, it is a really, really, really weird thing from, I think, you know, as I start to like try to place myself in, you know, the parent's perspective about making a decision like this, is largely just like, everyone's gonna have one.
Right. It's like, on the one hand, it feels like you can know for sure that your kid not having a smartphone has got to be the better decision in terms of like spending too much time on social media and screen time. But then it's like, do you want your kid to be the only kid who doesn't have one? Like, is that going to make them like an outcast? Or are they like then not progressing in other ways, like in just, you know, knowing how to like use them, or, you know?
Right. Yeah. In a world that does seem to incorporate, you know, knowledge of technology as more of a basic standard of existence on like a daily basis. It's like, it probably is good that they know how to use Google Maps, you know, or something. And I think even for that matter, it's like, I know that a lot of like my news, I get through my social feeds. So that's even something as I've considered like taking away this like element of my life. It's like, I might actually need to solve solutions that my social media apps currently give me.
Right.
You know, it's like I might need to seek out information so that I am like informed with what is going on in the world.
Right. There's also then like another side of it to where, you know, if like you have never experienced, like if you, you know, let's say you just get, you don't give your kid a smartphone ever, like all the way through high school or whatever. And they go through, yeah, they make it all the way through college or whatever and get a real job. And they're like, you know what? I have money now and I am going to buy my like self an iPhone. And I'm, or then are they suddenly like ill-equipped to know how to handle it? Like, are they suddenly like, like a 13-year-old who just got an iPhone, you know, like, are they more susceptible to be like sucked down the hole of screen time? Or I
kind of understand where you're coming from. It's like,
you never had candy until you were 25 and you discovered it, and something like, yeah, you can just go buy as much as you want. Would you be like, are you kidding me?
This is there.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point. It's a good point. And yeah, I don't know because I would like to think that the 25-year-old mind would be able to discern and operate with more discipline than, you know, the 12-13-year-old mind.
Right.
In terms of like recognizing and understanding limits, and then also not having had your formative years so much foundation built around it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but then like I didn't get like a smartphone until I was, you know, graduated from college.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Holy cow. I feel like that's hard to wrap my head around.
Right. Yeah. Like I went all the way through college and I just had like flip phone and stuff.
You had one of those like QWERTY ones that had like a full keyboard.
Oh yeah. 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 The NV2.
It was orange. Yep.
I could type so fast on that thing. I could type faster, I think, on that phone than I can on my iPhone.
Oh, I absolutely could. I think I could text faster on a number pad than I can on my iPhone.
Yeah, I make so many mistakes on my iPhone all the time. If I get to the end of a sentence and I haven't made a mistake, I'm like, that's unbelievable. This was great. What a great sentence I just typed.
You know what? Honestly, I think the reason that I know that I'm so bad at it is because it seems like Google Chrome's search bar on the phone does not have autocorrect built into it.
Ugh.
And so I will be like, you know, what year was this person born? And I'll look down and it'd be like, and it's like, that's not what I meant.
Nope.
And it's normally you figure this out for me, but you didn't. The other thing I'm going to complain about just really fast before changing topics is the word well, like W-E-L-L on my autocorrect right now. It is autocorrecting to will, W-E-apostrophe-L-L.
That's annoying.
Every single time. And oh my gosh, it is like so annoying.
Yeah.
And I've looked it up and it's like, I don't think that there's a fix for it. It's just like, I'm stuck in the well.
I guess we'll see.
Wow. Look at you go.
You know, I have a weird problem with this as well, which is that sometimes I will try and type, when I'm typing Luke's name, the U and the I are right next to each other.
Oh, so it says like.
So it'll say like, and then obviously like is just a word, so it'll leave it in there and not go back and correct it, which is frustrating. And then the sometimes I'll also hit J instead of the letter I, which people call me J. And so if I'm replacing it with the letter I, it suddenly seems like I'm speaking in the third person. Like, I don't think we should do that. J don't think we should do that.
It's so true.
It's so annoying. I'm like,
oh no.
No. That's not what I meant.
He does this third person thing all the time.
This is not what Jay meant.
Oh no. That's pretty good. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay. Transition?
Transition!
And we're back. Okay, so here's another thing that I want to talk to you about because I think we were discussing something before hopping on the pop today, which was the idea of having a either Super Carlin Brothers or Carlin Brothers wine.
Yeah. Well, okay. I think
or libation.
Because am I saying this? I was missing with the name Popcorn Culture, and I was saying like, welcome to cultured popcorn. Like, would is that the right phrase for like fermenting something, like culturing it?
I believe there would be cultures involved.
Culture, yeah, right? Cultured popcorn. It's popcorn flavored wine. Yeah, it sounds terrible.
That sounds just absolutely dreadful.
No, so. But you know what it would probably really just be is like corn wine.
Corn right? wine?
What is fermented corn? What is that?
Bourbon.
Bourbon, yeah, exactly.
Which, I mean, that would be cool.
Exactly.
That would be cool.
Exactly.
Okay, so here's...
Yeah, don't knock it.
I know. Yeah, if that was attainable, although it goes back to that thought where because bourbon has to be aged for so long, it's like, it is such a long game.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, we're going to go. We're going to buy tons of equipment. we're going to start barreling and this stuff.
Warehouse.
6 years from now, we're going to be able to start selling it.
Yep.
Every year between now and those 6 years, we need to try to figure out how much of it we're going to sell because we won't actually know how popular it is until 6 years from now. But in that time, we will have needed to have been producing every year so that each subsequent year we can then unbarrel the rest of it.
Right.
It's like so much of the production process of anything that needs to age for this period of time is just like a mind warp.
It is a bit of a mind warp because then you have to figure that your first year of launch might not even be the year you get a good gauge on the popularity of it. You might not know how, like, you might not become like established in the market or, you know, for another 6 years.
Right.
And then at that point, you might have been basing it off of year one because that's all you had to go off of. And turns out you're really popular, but year one, you're only like kind of popular. So now for the next 6 years, you're going to be short on supply.
Yeah. So it's very tricky to predict. And there's actually, I mean, plenty of people probably heard the story of Pappy Van Winkle, which is a highly, highly sought after bourbon.
Yeah.
Due specifically to its rarity. Most accounts I have heard of people who have had Pappy Van Winkle, specifically the 23 year, which again, obviously goes without saying, it takes an awful long time to start catching up on 23-year-old aged bourbon.
Right.
But I have heard that it's kind of like rather unremarkable, which maybe makes sense. Like, could you imagine a scenario where you tasted it and it was just like otherworldly? Like, what could it possibly taste like to make it worth the expense, which, by the way, is about $6,000 for a bottle?
Unbelievable.
And that's not the retail price. I think the retail price is closer to like $250, $275, which is of course still a lot. But in order to have the ability to purchase a bottle, typically you have to win a lottery.
Right.
Which we just had our Virginia just did the batch of them and our whole family entered the lottery. And 60,000 people entered not to win a bottle, to win the right to buy a bottle.
Right.
Because once you have then purchased it, you effectively have something that is now a highly sought after collector's piece.
Right. You could sell on the
secondhand
market.
The wet market.
As it were. Wet market.
Yeah.
down by the docks.
So here's my query about this though. And I liked it because we were originally talking about wine and it had really fun implications for what we could call it. So let's assume that that you can make wine from corn.
Yeah.
Okay. For the purposes.
Corn wine.
I'm setting this up because I want to say two words to back.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm having this thing lately, where it's the idea or the lack of need or maybe the amount of resources that go into moving water physically all over everywhere.
Right. Costs a lot of money to move water.
Right. So like when you buy a podcast once upon a time with Hank Green, where he was the first person to explain this to me in such a way that made sense. So shout out to Hank Green for this bit of information. But when you're purchasing like a 2 liter of Coca-Cola, you know, off the shelf at the market, like what you're buying for that $2 or however much that cost is literally the cost the cost of shipping the weight of it to the shelf. Like, you know, it's like it's your the materials inside of it, as far as the Coca-Cola company is concerned, are nothing. Like the syrups involved, the sugars, the flavorings, the dyes, whatever all goes into it, that doesn't cost them anything at all.
Right.
Relative to the cost of the Coca-Cola.
Of the shipping.
So if you were to have, and this was, you know, kind of his grand business idea, was basically the idea to just sell soda syrups as a way to, you know, effectively allow everybody to, you know, just add water. You know, like, we all have water where we are already, so there's no need to ship it and use so much of our resources to transport water from one place to another.
Right.
So, like, ways that I have attempted to implement this in my own personal life so far is I bought, like, a puck of shampoo. So it's like a shampoo bar.
Right.
It's like literally like a hard piece of, I don't know, concentrate of whatever shampoo solution is.
Mm-hmm.
So you buy that instead of buying, like, you know, the heavier bottle where the primary ingredient is water.
Right.
So anyway, I tried to think of more and more ways that you could limit this. And so when we were talking about having
cultured popcorn,
yeah, our wine. I was like, well, shoot, you can't just add water to wine. It kind of needs to be pre-assembled.
Need powdered wine, Ben.
Space wine.
Yeah.
So that's the thought. It's like, how and what would you have to do in order to have a packet of wine,
right,
where you could just, you get your packet, you pour it into a bottle, you fill it up with water, wine.
Boom, wine.
Actual.
Water into wine.
Water.
Yep. Miracle.
Truly,
it's a miracle powder.
We turned water into wine. Can marketing campaign is writing
itself.
It's
right there. All you need is powdered alcohol. How do you do that?
How do you powder
this
alcohol?
Must be a no. Can it? Is it a thing?
I don't think it could be a thing.
I don't think it could be a thing either.
So that was the thing. I was like, oh my gosh, it's so close. It's so close to being like the coolest and most brilliant thing ever. And then we could, I mean, literally, I would call it space wine. So that's what would be on the label. I kind of imagine, like, crudely drawn cartoons, you know, of like an astronaut,
yeah,
you know, up above Earth. And he's got like his little space wine bottle.
He's got a space wine bottle, but his head is actually a piece of popped popcorn.
Yes. Properly abstract.
Yes.
Because it's corn-based wine.
Because it's corn-based wine. So really, it's bourbon.
So
there's no grapes.
So it's space wine, which is actually bourbon, and it's powdered.
Yeah.
Who's
not confusing at all?
Who's gonna put me on Shark Tank? Let's just go.
All we have to do is invent powdered alcohol, and we're off to the races.
Truly, nothing could stop us.
Yeah.
Nothing could stop us.
Nope.
Turning water into wine, which is actually bourbon. It's not confusing at all.
Not confusing at all.
Do you think it's a great idea, or do you think it's a great idea?
I think it's a great idea, and if we could figure out how to powder us some alcohol, we're down.
Okay. In the meantime, how would you guys feel about just space wine that comes in actual wine containers?
Oh, just like selling wine?
Just actually wine?
Yeah, wine or bourbon wine?
Good question. I haven't quite made up my mind. I feel like bourbon would take too long.
Think it would take too long? Here's what we really need to do is for there to be someone who, like, owns a distillery or works at a distillery and knows people who are in the know on these sort of things, who's also a fan of the pop and who can be already aging some bourbon, which we can then be responsible for, like, marketing and putting our own label on, is what we really need.
Would you call it space bourbon?
I mean, we could call it whatever you want, Ben, but space bourbon is obviously in the running. You don't even have to mention it.
It's obviously one of the top
obviously
three options
in the running. You know, when NASA is sending people up to space, they're like, you know what? Let's add water. It's easy to ship water.
No.
Exactly. They're like, we want to be in a really breakable glass bottle that's really full of a heavy liquid that will lower your inhibitions and make you less able to make good decisions in space.
Alcohol seems like the worst
thing.
It seems like the worst thing
you can send to space.
There is no use for it.
Fortunately,
whatsoever.
You can drink our space bourbon on Earth.
Most space bourbons must be consumed in space. Ours? Not true.
Exactly.
We made it Earth-friendly.
All right. So listen up, all distilleries out there who are fans of the pop. You know, we're interested. That's what we're saying.
Okay. Okay. We've put out the proverbial pop signal.
Yeah, exactly. The pop signal is out there.
Do you think that if we had, like, similar to the bat signal, and we shot a popcorn kernel into the sky, do you think people would just think it was a cloud?
Oh my gosh, Ben, there's only, you know what? It's not like we don't have roof access. Okay.
It's what is above us right now is a roof.
We are a spotlight and a metal cutout away of a popcorn kernel shape from finding the answer out.
You know what? If anybody, if like the local airport is like, hey, what's up with this giant beam in the sky? Like, it's a cloud.
I think you can, people have spotlights, right?
Can you have a spotlight?
Can you have a spotlight?
This feels illegal.
I distinctly remember one night in high school, you and me and John and Mike saw a spotlight shining up into the air, and we were like, we should go figure out where that is. And eventually we got there, and it was a party at a hotel.
Did we? Hold on.
Yeah.
We found this?
Yeah.
Go us.
Yeah, look at us. We found it. We're like, whoa, spotlights. Cool. All right, next thing.
My version of the story actually goes the other way, where once upon a time I was having a party on top of a hill.
Yeah.
And a helicopter spotlighted us.
Oh, less fun.
From above. I know. We scampered.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah.
Like, all right, we out of here.
Time to go.
Time to go.
Everybody get your space beer.
Everybody drop your space beer. We guess the roll.
Oh, man.
I'll meet you back at Waffle House.
Exactly.
Exactly.
All right, transition.
Transition!
Okay, Jay, I have another new pitch for you.
Oh, okay.
Because apparently today I'm just full of these.
Yeah.
Just like I got idea after idea after idea. It's hard to beat space wine. Although I do think that this next idea isn't too bad, because I feel like it solves a problem that all people face. And it's the 4-day work week.
4-day work week.
Right? Hear me out. Except I feel like whenever I imagine the 4-day work week, I always imagine it being the case that we would extend the weekend. So right. either Monday or Friday becomes the new obvious, like, inclusion.
It feels like Friday becomes the obvious inclusion.
It does feel like Friday would be the obvious, because otherwise people would really have to like change a lot of branding around to like hate Tuesdays a lot more.
Yeah.
You know, and like people, we've already established
Friday's already kind of the weekend.
It's true. But this is not the case with my new plan.
Okay.
You know, what you would do is your business establishments would have it such that your third day off per week would just drop randomly in an even pattern. So you would have equal numbers of each day of the week off throughout the year, but it might be random relative to your coworkers so that, like, you know, the job could still continue to be going on despite the fact that you would have a day off. But it would just mean, so like maybe this week I would have Tuesday off, and then next week maybe I have Friday off, and then the week after that it's a Wednesday. And what this would allow is the fact that so many businesses also are open during the hours that everybody else is at work.
Yeah.
So it's like an appointment day.
Yeah.
You know? So
appointment
it's like
day.
So it's like, because if you want to get like your oil change done, for example, it's like this highly complicated problem of needing to find the opportunity to go and do it when it's open and when you're not working.
Yeah.
Otherwise you just kind of gotta like really finagle things around. So it'd be so nice if just like each week, it was just sort of like, okay, got my Tuesday this week, so that's the day I can go to the bank at the grocery store.
Right, this is where I'm going to schedule all of my, dentist appointments and haircuts and
the comings and goings, as it were.
It's errands day.
Errands day.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what we'd call it. Like, oh, I'm on errands day that day.
Yeah.
But then the cool thing would be is that, you know, I guess really 40% of the time, it would mean still a 3-day weekend.
Right.
Because
you'd have Monday and Friday.
Because you'd have Monday and Friday.
Right.
So you'd have these like periodic long weekends that would fit into it as well.
It would also, no matter when it falls, it's like a pretty good situation for you, right? Because if it's on the Monday or Friday, then you have the 3-day weekend. If it's on Tuesday, then it's like Monday, it's like, who cares about your Monday, right? You got to go to work for one day and then get a day off again. Hooray. You're practically starting on Wednesday.
How great is this? Then it's almost Friday again.
Then if it falls on Wednesday, it's like, what, 2-day weekend, 2-day work week? Pff, then I'm back off for a day.
I know.
This is always the thing. Like, I always loved 4-day school week because it was just like, it felt like it was so much more approachable.
Yes.
Yeah.
But like, do you think, Like, I almost even would be very curious to see what this might do for people as, like, in terms of, like, being able to not have to take on so much all at once.
Well, because the other option so often is that, like, you have to do whatever the activity is during your lunch break or something. Like, oh, I've got an hour for lunch, but I guess instead of eating lunch today, I'm going to the dentist or I'm going to the whatever.
Right, right. Or you're chewing up your paid time off, depending on how your employer sees your need to go to doctor's appointments.
Right.
You know, which is kind of like one of those things where if that's what you're doing and, you know, you have to go to like 8 appointments throughout the year, then you use a... like 8 1-hour appointments a year. That means you used a full day of like your vacation time or whatever to go to the dentist.
Right. That would be so silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The worst.
People have appointments.
Right.
They got to do them. Another, yeah, it's like, cause sometimes, yeah, you're right. Like, you know, I definitely right now need to go get my car changed. It's like the place I go is like 30 minutes from my house and not in the direction of work. So it's like, I'm going to have to make an appointment to go out there. It's going to take me a long time to drive there. I'm going to have to sit there while they do it because I'm going to be far away from everybody. It's not like, and I won't have a car.
Right.
You know? And then, so it like, even if I scheduled it for like 8 o'clock, it's like, I'm still not going to make it back to work until like 11 or something.
Right.
And then it's like, I feel guilty because I wasn't here and I was just doing a personal errand and I got behind on things and, you know, all that.
Maybe we should try Aaron's Day.
Aaron's Day?
Aaron's Day. Like
you just get to go do stuff today.
I feel like you and I would need the same Aaron's Day, though, because we do a lot of things together.
We do, yeah. We probably have to schedule it in such a way.
It would become a problem, because if we both had different days off a week, that would mean that we would really only have 3 days.
I suppose you could experiment around. I mean, maybe it could just be like everyone, you just have like an extra day off every month on like a Wednesday or something.
Oh, that's a good point, too.
You know?
Hey. We're just brainstorming.
We're just brainstorming. We're just changing the world over here, one Aaron's Day at a time.
I mean, between powdered alcohol and additional days off. Right? I mean, I feel like what we're doing right now is coming up with very good ideas that people are going to love.
People are going to like them. Look, and you know what? Maybe on some Aaron's Days, you don't have any appointments at all. And you just get to, you can just chill and just have some space bourbon.
Yeah, exactly. You want to know what I would love to do with my Aaron's Day? Is what? Go and fill one of those inflatable swimming pools in my yard and just go sit out there in sunglasses with like a drink with like the little umbrella and stuff. Because like you see this depicted in films and stuff and movies.
Yeah.
But it's like, it sure seems great.
Yeah.
You know, like you're just out there lounging, hanging out. You got some headphones.
What's stopping you from doing this on like a weekend?
Well, I don't really know now that you mention it. Yeah. I mean, I suppose I could try it.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll try to
get off the social media.
Yeah, right?
Delete all those apps.
And then I'll have plenty of time
to fill up a pool.
Right. I'll be able to set up my pool, which will be great. And then I'll take a picture of it, which I will then give to Kat, who can then post to my Instagram with a witty caption.
Yeah. And be like, now that I'm off social media, I have time to get in my pool.
Maybe, oh my gosh, can you imagine if every single post I had started with the words, now that I'm off social media. Okay, I have to include one last thing because I feel like I did not mean to steer the conversation this way, mm-hmm. but now I have found myself here and I'm excited about a potential pitch for you.
Oh boy.
Because I have yet another one.
Okay.
Okay, so are you familiar with the video-based concept on the interweb, which is basically the will it blank, like will it sandwich?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the whole idea is basically like if we were to take this particular thing and attempt to turn it into a sandwich, can we do it?
Yeah.
And okay. So here's my thought. I have wanted an in-ground swimming pool for my whole life. Like my own pool, right?
Reasonable.
Yeah. And not an inflatable one that I can go and like plop in.
Yeah.
Like a real,
like you want a pool.
Like a pool. Yeah. Like a pool.
I understand. And
it's one of these things where they are outstandingly expensive.
Right.
Most people even say that it is better to purchase a home that already has a pool than to spend the money to install a pool, which I feel like basically suggests that like it is never worth the money to install it mm-hmm. unless you have like some means of doing it cost effectively.
Sure.
So here's my thing is that I feel like I have a unique amount of experience dealing with water filtration and modest plumbing, which I feel like on the whole is pretty much all swimming pools are. They are containers that hold water that has a way to circulate through the filters so that it remains clean, right?
I don't know. Never haven't put that much thought into it.
I mean, because there's nothing special. Like, they make pools out of a variety of different materials. You can have vinyl, you can have fiberglass, you can have concrete. And really, the only thing that they all have in common is that they are largely impermeable containers that hold a bunch of water.
Right.
And I suppose, depending on any of those, you can then shape them into stuff so that they're pleasing. But I'm like, man, like, I could go and find a container and I could probably make it watertight. And I could probably run plumbing to make it stay clean. I'm like, should I start a segment called Will It Pool?
Will It Pool?
Will It Pool.
Like, you would need lots of really big containers.
I would need lots of really big containers.
To try and make into pools.
Well, they don't all have to be huge. I think that, like, what I'd be most curious about is whether or not...
You need, like, Will It Bathtub.
I mean, I have not eliminated cardboard as a potential option in this venture.
I've got a waterproof this cardboard, but I got some Flexi here. Let's go crazy.
Flexi-eel. Just go Hamilton on it. And
I'm seeing Hamilton this week.
Oh, that's exciting.
In fact, by the time people are listening to this, I will have seen it.
Goodness gravy.
Yeah.
Look at you showing off.
I know. It's going to be great. Exciting. I can't wait.
Do you think that while you're there, you could find me a nice cardboard box to turn into a swimming pool?
While I'm at Hamilton?
Oh, yeah.
Probably not.
Any other vessels that Hamilton might have lying around?
Yeah, I'm not going to be on the lookout for potential bathtub substitutes whilst on my trip to see Hamilton.
Okay, fine.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. But mostly what I'm curious about is whether or not I could turn anything into a pool.
Okay.
And it's like... It feels like a fun quest.
Yeah.
Because I'm just convinced that there's just really not that much to it. Like, the pools that I'm familiar with, it's like you're talking like maybe 12 little holes that circulate the water around, a sand filter, maybe a UV filter. It's not that much to it.
Mm-hmm.
Anything could be a pool.
I guess anything could be a pool. It feels like a lot of times, like, in-ground pools have, like, the jets and stuff coming into the walls.
Yeah.
And you would, I mean, I guess you have to, like, plumb the jets, right?
Oh, that's not hard.
Obviously, it's not hard probably to plumb them, but you have to, like, have the hole dug, right?
Oh, sure. Yes. Yeah.
You got to get down to, it's not probably hard to install the pipes. It's hard to get to the point where you can install the pipes.
This brings me back to my lifelong ambition to learn how to drive an excavator.
Yeah. I don't feel like that's that hard, but.
No?
No.
Oh, goodness me. So if the excavator is not the problem, then I'm good.
And you're good.
Then I'm good.
And we're good.
All I need is, I need holes and containers.
Sometimes you need some land, too, to put your big containers in.
I have some land.
That's true. You have some land.
I have more than no land.
You just have some neighbors who are like, yeah, my neighbor, quote unquote, they've owned the land for years. They are not built anything over there except a wide variety of semi-successful pools.
Oh, man. Like, one of them's a cardboard box.
someone's gonna buy the land. So you're going to sell it. Someone's going to buy the land someday. They're going to go to build a house. They're going to be excavating. Like, you know what? We'd be way further along, except every time we go to dig a hole, there's like 10 more just pipes in the ground.
It's like an upside down Volkswagen bug over there.
Like, there's just all sorts of stuff in the way. And it's everything's wet.
Worth it. Oh, man. Anyway, you guys let me know. Would you subscribe to my YouTube channel, of which I will not be reading any of the comments on Will It Pool?
Will It Pool?
Which I will now do with all my free time since I've maybe quit social media entirely. Oh, man. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of The Pop. I feel like it was a fun one. We've come up with some really great new things.
Right,
one, we've discovered anything can be a pool.
Anything can be a pool. We've solved work-life balance with Aaron's Day. Yeah. We have space wine, which is actually space bourbon, which is actually consumed on Earth.
Yep.
Yep, and is actually in powder form.
It feels like there's got to be something like dangerous about having a powdered form of alcohol.
It feels potentially dangerous. Like, if you ate the powder, would you get libaceous?
Ooh.
You know?
Yeah, we don't want that.
No.
Because that feels like inventing a drug.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Now, wait a minute.
A bunch of people at home are like, I'm glad they got there eventually.
Yeah, yeah. They're like, okay, welcome to the conversation, guys.
Oh, man. Maybe you would just have to make it not powdered, but like cubes.
Cubes?
Cubes.
Yeah.
So it's not powder. It's cubes. It's cubes. And you put all the cubes into the bottle, and then the cubes dissolve.
Right.
But you can't crush the cubes up. It's written on the packaging. Right.
It's like a noon tablet or something.
Yeah, it's like a noon tablet.
Right.
Okay, good idea, good idea. Anyway, guys, if you'd like to support us on Patreon, you can do so at patreon.com/popcornculture. We have a really fun tier over there called the quarterly merch tier, where each quarter we come out with a brand new, very unique, limited edition popcorn culture themed piece of merch. We are currently working on Q2 for the year of 2022, which we will be announcing here shortly. If you'd like to check that out, patreon.com/popcornculture.
But until next time,
pop pop.